Welcome to the Novel Ideas Podcast, a podcast with two siblings who love books. I'll be your host today, Ben Roman, covering All on My Own while Gabs takes a nap in the same room. So technically, we are co-hosting. So every once in a while, I'll hold the mic up to her face and get snoring noises. So today's book is going to be Every Day by David Levithan, or possibly Leviathan. I think he's a whale. Fortunately, Gabs isn't here to stop me from saying whatever stupid crap I want. I can do this solo, whatever.
Oh, God.
Except if I devamp, I'll try to take calls. That probably won't work. And, yeah, let's see who's on line one.
Yes, what do you have to say about Every Day? Why are you calling me?
Right. Instead of people calling the studio, I just randomly call people from the studio. So what do you think about Every Day? What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The book or the Buddy Holly song? Okay, did not expect you to say that.
Yeah, Every Day by David Levithan. And this was published in 2012. It's very recent.
It is very recent.
So the book, yeah, was published recently. Therefore, we are going to issue a spoiler alert. It is recent enough.
That's fair. There's not tons to spoil, but...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, if you're the type of person who gets invested in certain things. So anyway, we will talk about the whole book because we want to be able to talk about everything in it. So if you don't like that, now would be a great time to turn off the podcast.
Yeah.
Before you find out that A and Rhiannon don't stay together.
I was gonna say, A ends up sad and lonely. Take that. That's you right. For falling in love with a girl named Rhiannon.
That's right. It doesn't feel like much of a spoiler bomb to me because I... really wasn't all that shattering of a moment.
Well, and also, honestly, it's kind of impossible from the beginning. Like, there's really no practical way to be in a long-term relationship with someone when you're in a different body every day.
That's true, though there was a part of me that was wondering if it was going to be a pseudo-Groundhog Day thing, where if he finally did enough good, he would, like, be able to have one body. Like, take over a vegetative patient or something.
Yeah, I did... At the beginning of the book, maybe up till the midway point, I was kind of vaguely wondering if at the end A was going to figure out some way to get their own body.
And then the other thought I had was that this could totally turn into a TV series, like a kid's reboot version of Quantum Leap.
Okay, I was explaining this book to Scott, and he goes, that reminds me of the show Quantum Leap. Yep. I've never heard of this show.
Really?
And in the past week, I've seen like 12 billion references to it. I was watching Hulu Plus the other day, and I saw a preview for Quantum Leap. And I was like, oh my God.
Starring a sexy young Scott Bakula.
Yeah, that's what he said, Scott Bakula. I was like, who the fuck is Scott Bakula?
You don't know that either, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is probably the first media-related thing I've ever known that you haven't.
Well, you're older than me, so you know Quantum.
We used to watch reruns in the afternoon at Chris's house.
Nice. Unless you're more of a nerd than
that. Well, that's fair.
I don't think that's necessarily fair. When I was a child, maybe. Anywho, do you want to mention Left Hand of Darkness real quick before we get into discussing this book?
Oh, I suppose we should. I mostly just wanted to make a quick, I don't know if correction's the right word, but insert a couple extra comments about the book, because when we're referring to the nation of Orgarin, we caught oligarchy, we caught bureaucracy, we caught the intrusive state, though we went fascism. Mm-hmm. We caught Siberian prison camp. That was the really big one to me.
Yeah.
And then commensals, I also came to realize probably was supposed to be standing for commissar. And I went, oh, fuck, they're the Soviet Union. That book was written in the 1960s, you idiot!
Ben texted me about that. And I wouldn't necessarily... necessarily... Okay, the Siberian prison camp thing. Yeah, I should have caught that one.
I was...
Fair enough.
I was pretty mad at myself for not figuring that out. Though in my defense, I am young enough that I could write it off, but...
Yeah, I mean, neither one of us was really there for the Cold War.
I mean, I do remember watching the Berlin Wall fall on TV, even though I was like 7.
Yeah, I was like 1.
But I remember our parents were glued to the television while that was happening, and I remember it was happening, and I knew it was of significance, and that I even had some vague idea of what that significance was, but, I mean, not truly until I was older.
Yeah.
So I can be forgiven on that account, except that we fancy ourselves such... smart, historically aware people, and then to miss that connection, I just thought it was worthy of mention. So, any of you who have listened to that episode and for some reason haven't left your ragey "you idiots" comments,
yeah, I figured it out.
I figured it out while I was editing the episode.
So back to everyday.
Yes.
We chose the book because, again, it's LGBTQ Awareness Appreciation Month. Again, I'm not really sure correct adjective there. And David Levithan writes a lot of books about LGBTQ characters. I mean, of his 4 books that I've picked up now, I guess, this was the only one without... like a gay relationship being a major thread throughout, but I mainly think that's because A is genderless, so you can't really push that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, and it certainly fits the whole gender-bending idea, because you have this being, person, I guess, who is leaping from body to body and doesn't seem terribly concerned whether that body is male or female. Mm-hmm. Or whether the person that the body belongs to is dating a male or a female. Mm-hmm. And just doesn't care about that stuff. Gender's not important to this being.
Yeah, if you grew up never staying one gender, then you might be the same way.
Very possible.
And there are definitely issues that arise related to... LGBTQ things throughout.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely still there, but it's definitely not a book featuring like a big gay romance or anything.
Right. Much to your dismay.
Weeping. Weeping. Well, I do think it's a little funny that we decided to pick books specifically for this month that we thought kind of fit the thread, and then so far the two of them have been more about interesting gender issues than actual like... characters who are...
Well, yeah.
But that's alright. So, genre of the book is YA. All the characters, not all the characters, but the main characters are all 16, so...
Right.
Fits that.
It's YA, or I joked it was in the controversial YA genre.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming it's controversial because it has many of the touchstones that... idiots get mad about in books written for teenagers.
Yeah, when we get to the moral issues, you'll notice that there's a laundry list of things that are brought up that are either favorite YA topics or things that piss conservative-minded people off.
Yes.
Conservative in the fact that they're closed-minded, not, like, politically conservative.
Right. That book-banning morons. Let's not be so nice. Things that book-banning morons get hung up on.
Jackasses. Yes. Like.
Jackasses whose ideas are too fragile to stand up to the light of day, so they ban the books.
There you go. That's good. So you can get the plot synopsis?
Sure. A surprisingly fair plot synopsis this week. Androgynous spirit being hitchhikes on other people's bodies.
It's essentially...
That's pretty much it, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's not any snark in that this time.
Usually...
I just wanted to use the phrase androgynous spirit being, yeah.
And that's actually a good phrase, too.
That's a good description, yeah.
And just to expand on it a tiny bit, this spirit being who refers to themselves as A...
Short for androgynous spirit being...
Not really, but okay.
They could go by abs if they wanted to. Oh, no, that's not right.
No,
wrong A-S-B. Order. Damn it!
Asb.
I'm an idiot.
Fool.
In the Soviet Union, it would be abs. I don't. Probably not.
In Latin, it'd probably be abs.
No, thank you.
Okay. So, A, this being, wakes up every morning in someone else's body. And that person's consciousness is still kind of there, but A is in charge of everything. They get kicked out of the body at midnight, never stay in the same person twice, don't jump wide distances, so, this story takes place mainly in Maryland, and A never jumps to a body that lives outside of Maryland. But
it seems to be limited within approximately a 4-hour radius.
That's what it seemed like. If the body that A is in travels, however, that's how A travels.
Right.
So if the body flies to Hawaii, for example, then A would be in Hawaii for a while.
It actually sounded like a bummer to me, waking up super early in the morning in someone else's body and then having to spend the entire day traveling so you can go to sleep. Because going from Maryland to Hawaii
would take a while.
You're not getting any vacation in that day, I'm sorry.
But if you did manage to get to Hawaii before midnight, then you'd get probably to spend a little while in Hawaii. Unless you were unlucky enough to get up, wake up in a body the next day that was flying back home. Which could happen. Because I bet Hawaii is full of many tourists.
They didn't get into the mechanics of that.
And that's getting off track.
Though. Yes.
So, yeah. And then the other... what the hell is the word I'm looking for? Guideline, I guess, is that A is typically in bodies about the same age. So A guesses that they're around 16 and they're a bunch of 16-year-old bodies. A wakes up in the body of a boy named Justin at the very beginning. He meets a girl named Rhiannon, falls in love with her, and then basically spends the succeeding days and weeks trying to get back to her, meet her, and hang out with her until she kind of figures something's up. A confesses what's going on, Rhiannon accepts it pretty well, and the two of them kind of try to make it work, and it doesn't work.
Not surprisingly.
And that's essentially the book.
Yeah. Let's see, so we're in Maryland, story is told through A's point of view.
Yes.
A is protagonisting so hard, I don't know how you would even need us to explain that.
Yeah. This is a pretty clear case of A being the protagonist. Lots of thoughts and feelings. And as we've already mentioned, A is an androgynous spirit being who is genderless. So we might stumble a little bit because A is not a he or a she. You might hear me referring to A as they or them or, you know.
I just try to say A. Occasionally I trip up and say he and then try to correct myself before Gabs focuses her rage on me.
Before he gets a slap.
Before I get disapproved of like Ursula K. Le Guin.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about A. Aside from just that nifty trick.
Right, yeah.
Well, or curse or whatever.
Yeah. I'd probably argue curse, personally.
It sounds like a horrible life. I would be miserable.
It does. I mean, you'd have to figure out how to make the best of it. And A has managed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. A is kind of a... A has an individual... Yeah, boy, this is hard. Has an individual, unique voice, but is a little on the bland side, maybe. Kind of a goody-goody.
Yes, that's how I would also describe them. One of the things I was telling Ben, and that actually did bug me a little bit while I was reading the book, is A will wake up in the body of a person and go to a party or something and refuse to drink at all. Or, you know, this body likes pop, but I'm not going to even smoke a single joint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, come on, it's not that big of a deal. And I get the intentions. A is trying not to fuck up anyone's body or life in the one day that they're there. which is an admirable.
I would definitely say that I'd definitely say the campsite rule is the ethical choice to make, but at the same time, you'd think A would wake up angry at their lot in life every once in a while and do something a little more destructive.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, if I was A, I might go through like a 3-month phase where whichever body I woke up and I just want to get like fucking drunk.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't care. I have to deal with a hangover tomorrow. Screw that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting drunk. Like, go to a party and just go nuts.
Yeah.
I had the conversation with Scott of, if you woke up in another person's body every day, would you be willing to have sex with their significant other or not? A thinks that's not fair, so they avoid it.
Right.
Scott thought, well, if they would normally have sex with them anyway, and your partner wants it, like, why not? But, right. Again, we...
Don't you
we,
get horny in there, A?
We were putting in the context of, if you were doing this when you were in your 20s, you'd True. Probably be waking up in a lot more committed relationships with the partner in the bed next to you.
Probably,
as opposed
yeah.
to 16-year-olds, where... You know,
it takes a little extra effort to make it happen.
Yeah. And maybe A is against teenage sex. I don't know.
I don't know.
They're kind of...
A didn't seem like they were against that.
No.
Well, they were talking about with one of the host bodies that the mother being sex... Kind of sex obsessed, but definitely shaming... And saying that the A was commenting, the shaming is usually the problem, not the sex itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think A probably has reached a comfort level with sexuality by being in a new body every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that we have not given A very much credit for thus far is having the strength to figure out how to make the best of this situation.
Yeah, and they do mention that having grown up that way makes it easier, because toward the end, when A is presented with this option of inhabiting one body for a longer length of time, but then feels that that's unfair to the person, and even has the thought of, well, if I inhabit their body, then does their soul start bouncing around every day?
Mm-hmm.
And thinks, if you're used to permanence, and then you started living this life... They thought that would be way more hellish
right.
than someone who's never experienced permanence.
Or that if their spirit, soul, whatever, stayed attached to their body and you just overrode it, then that would basically be murder.
Yeah.
Which I agreed with.
Yeah.
So again, the ethics of body swapping, fascinating.
Yeah, and I did, I guess I just didn't get how A could be so... comfortable with it, and again, I think it's just because they've never known anything else.
Right.
And to me, I was just thinking, like, fuck, that would be so
horrible. It does, it sounds really terrible.
But the cool point about it that A likes and made is that you get such a wide range of human experience that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Which is very true. I mean, A is really all about living life and having experiences. I mean, you'd have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And has gotten really good at observing people and quickly understanding people and their relationships, and has seen a wider variety of things probably than any one person has seen, honestly. But certainly anyone... American suburban teenager. I guess any other comments I have would start to involve other people and issues, so I'm going to start bringing some of them in.
Okay. Well, I guess we should talk about the other most relevant cast member then.
Yeah.
Rhiannon.
Rhiannon. Like the song. another reference Gabs was not old enough to get.
Yeah. Becca goes, oh, that's actually a song. And I said, oh, I just thought it was talking to their butt.
I'll have to decide if I want to make that song or the Buddy Holly song the music bump for this episode. Be a difficult decision.
Flip a coin. Mm. Yeah, so Rhiannon, a 16-year-old girl, fairly typical, I guess. She's pretty and nice.
Yeah, pretty, but not in a spectacularly noticeable to everyone all the time way.
Uh-huh.
Nice, even to the point of it being a character trait.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very kind person. Can accept other people and consider what they're feeling very quickly. Which, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, is not something everybody can do.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally seems like a pleasant person to be around.
Yeah.
But is, as far as being a character that's supposed to help prop up an entire story in a novel, a little bland.
Yeah, one thing I liked about Rhiannon, I guess, is that at the beginning of the book, I was a little nervous because A was like, oh, you know, she's so shy and nervous around Justin and hiding, and then she comes out of her shell, and I was thinking, like, oh, God, is she going to be, like, this girl who needs saving that A is in love with?
Uh-huh.
And then as the book develops, you notice that she actually has, like, friends and other interests and things, and it's not just...
Right.
Like, broken, sad girl, which I really appreciated.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like at the beginning.
It was pointing in that direction. This book actually faked me out a couple times as far as my predictions on what might happen.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that.
I did like that. But I agree with Ben that, I mean, she does seem like a person that I would have gotten along with in high school.
Yes.
But she doesn't really have anything super standout interesting about her, and the main, well, I guess the main conflict is that she and A are trying to maneuver a relationship while A changes bodies every day.
Right.
But then, like, the other emotional conflict going on is that, you know, her relationship with her boyfriend isn't that good.
Right.
Which, I just kind of sounded like other people's not very good high school relationships.
I actually kind of wonder if A and Rhiannon are both supposed to be kind of vaguely stand-in type of characters, where you can relate to both of them by them being, you know, not particularly standout in most ways. Rhiannon could be in any girl,
yeah.
Essentially. And maybe the one trait that kind of stands out a little bit, which, I mean, contextually might be anybody still, is that she's pretty real about discussing the relationship, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulties seem like difficulties that anyone would have in her situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that she finds upsetting about it and off-putting about it seem like the types of things anyone would find upsetting and off-putting about it. And that helped make things work for me.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been... I mean, honestly, if the relationship had worked better, it would have gone into fairy tale land, and I probably dismissed it.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
For sure.
I mean, as it was, I had issues with the romance.
Yeah.
Well,
when neither one of the characters is, you know, super interesting, maybe then the relationship's not as interesting.
Well, the thing is, like, if you're trying to tell a love story, usually you make the characters a little more standout.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives the reader or the viewer or whatever something to latch on to. Because really likable...
Why they're in love.
Well, yeah, like you root for really likable characters, even if they're quirky or if they have some major conflicts. I mean, Silver Linings Playbook comes to mind. With two characters who are pretty damaged, but you were rooting for them because they were interesting, they were... 3D characters.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing about two characters with a lot of interest and depth is that you then know why they're into each other.
Right.
So even if they're both crazy, you know what they're latching onto.
Right.
And in this case, A falls in love with Rhiannon in a day, and then we learn a little bit more about her, but we don't really know why A is so head over heels in love with her, like, from the beginning and never wavers from that.
Right.
And then I don't really know how Rhiannon falls in love with A.
I mean, that was my main issue. I had no idea how that part came about.
One day she's just like, I love you. And right. I was like, what?
It's like, why? Though I still felt like I had more to go on with Marco and Celia in the Night Circus.
Well, okay. It was a little more chronological. Made sense. Fair enough. Marco and Celia did end up with their little fairy tale.
So a couple other characters real quick before we finish breaking down some of these other things. Justin, Rhiannon's boyfriend, who is basically a teenage douchebag who's trying way too hard to look cool by never being attached to anything.
Yeah. So he's one of those, I don't even care guys.
Yeah, which is annoying, but I think we're supposed to not like him very much, but I'm not sure. If we're supposed to hate him, he wasn't unlikable enough.
No, I don't think he's a fundamentally... I didn't get that he was a fundamentally bad person.
Right.
I just thought he was kind of an obnoxious teenager.
I kind of wanted to shake him and be like, look, fucker, you're in this world.
Yeah.
Which might mean I'm getting old, I don't know.
Well, he'll graduate and either decide to stop being stupid or just be a douche his entire life.
Yeah, I guess that's true enough.
But he could kind of go either way. Like, A's hatred of him is mostly just because he wants to date Rhiannon and Justin's dating Rhiannon.
Well, it's because Justin is clearly not a great guy to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
And he loves this girl, and so between jealousy and probably at least some amount of real consideration for her feelings and not just his own, does not like this guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, understandable by context, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then we have, I'm just going to pair these two.
Okay.
So Nathan and Reverend Poole. Nathan's a body that A inhabits for a day and kind of rudely and unintentionally leaves sleeping in his car on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Thinks he was possessed, really wants to know what A is and why A does what they do.
Yeah.
And then Reverend Poole is telling him it's the devil.
You were possessed by a demon!
Yes. Though it turns out that Reverend Poole is another body jumper.
Yeah.
But one who's been in the same body for, sounds like, possibly months or even years.
Mm-hmm. That was the main interest in Reverend Poole, is that when you finally get a confrontation with him at the end, he's telling A, well, you're unique, but you're not the...
Or you're different, but you're not unique. Yeah.
You're not the only one. And then he just makes some comment, I'm surprised you haven't figured out how to stay in a body for more than a day yet. And then A realizes, like, oh, shit. This guy is like me, but gets the hell out of town before we learn any more. So it raises this issue of there are other people who, or spirits or whatever, who jump bodies. You can stay in a body for more than one day, possibly as long as you want, but we don't know anything else, like how you do it or anything.
Right. Yeah, we don't know if you did chase the person who originally owned the body away, or if you've to suppress them, or how it works.
Yeah.
Which, I want to know how it works.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I guess it's kind of issues time. Maybe we'll talk about the... Yeah, I guess we covered the romance, more or less.
Yeah.
There was one more thing I wanted to add to that, and that's that it felt like a teenagery type of infatuated, I'm in love, oh my god, it's mm-hmm. so important, nothing else matters. And I feel like if A hadn't had the chance to get back and see her within a couple of days, like if it'd been 2 weeks before A had the opportunity, I just wonder if it would have been forgotten about already. We're like, wow, that was a really nice day, but like, this is completely unreasonable.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that's what would have happened.
It did feel like teenagers in love, not like a lasting love. Yeah. No offense to teenagers in love, but
right. But I mean, I've been there, guys. I mean, it feels awesome, and later you look at it differently. So
you giggle at it.
Yeah,
that's what I do anyway.
So feel free to be pissed right now, but.
In 10 years, you won't give a shit.
Things change, yes. And so I was trying to come up with like a laundry list of topics that, again, piss off book banning morons.
Yeah.
So let's see what we have here. We have teenagers having sex, gasp. Doing drugs, horror. Alcohol. Skipping school. My God. Defying authority.
No.
No. And then on top of that, we also have suicide, homosexuality, transgendered, illegal aliens, for that matter, crappy working conditions,
yeah.
Obesity, and then not so much race as an issue, just as a presence, and religion, you could argue whether that's an issue, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that A wakes up in a different person every day basically gives you a chance to make every day a different issue.
Yeah, and boy, does David Levithan take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so, man, I guess we'll just hit each of those. Some of them we probably won't have a whole lot to say about.
Yeah.
But teenagers having sex. Justin and Rhiannon have sex.
Yep.
Rhiannon and A, when he's in someone else's... Xavier, maybe?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, they almost have sex.
Yeah. Rhiannon... Here's something that happens in YA books a lot. Rhiannon goes, "You've never had sex," and just kind of thinks that's funny.
Right.
And I thought, okay, you're 16. When I was 16, I'm pretty sure me and none of my friends had ever had sex. And I've read multiple YA books where characters who are 16 and 17-year-olds make comments like, "I'm the last person in the world to lose my virginity."
Right.
I'm like... Was I just a huge loser? Like, do most people have sex by the time they're 17 and I'm just, like, that repugnant? Or what's going on?
I certainly don't know if anyone has reliable numbers on the subject. I would imagine enough do that it would be... There should be more of a blend, I think, in most YA. Like, there should definitely be... If you took an average sampling of 17-year-olds, there would definitely be a sizable percentage, but I doubt a majority, who had had sex. There'd be some who had done various things up to that. There'd be a bunch who'd never even been kissed. There'd be some who were nervous about it and were kind of, you know, just... would be the more traditional, I guess, YA character from a few decades ago who the idea of kissing a boy or kissing a girl would be just like world-shaking news, you know?
And it seemed to me that most of the people, a majority of people, lose their virginity in college as opposed to high school. Because when you go off and you're away from your parents, you'd start doing it. I don't know. I just knew a lot of people who lost their virginity in college and not in high school. But again, maybe I hang out with the loser crowd.
I know people who did in high school, but I mean, most people I know did not in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. It exists.
Oh, yeah. I knew people who
right, like I said, and not just with the dangerous bad kids, for sure.
Yeah.
I
mean, I still haven't had sex, so...
it's mostly, to me, just the idea that YA authors feel the need to include it because some people refuse to face the reality that it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, banning a book that brings up teenage sexuality or... getting angry, trying to get a teacher fired for daring to mention it, or for that matter, endorsing abstinence-only sex education, which, I'm sorry, is moronic.
Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol, kind of similar things when you're talking about underage people, because they're both illegal.
Yeah, I mean, there's the gamut of the kids who just drink a little bit of beer, all the way up to is in the body of a girl who got super drunk one night and drove home, and her brother was in the car. She crashed, and her brother died.
Yeah.
It's an extreme version, but...
And this isn't the morning after that, but it's
no.
The morning after another drunken attempted driving incident.
Yes, most likely the continued drinking problems, trying to cope with guilt, would be my guess, but...
Right. Skipping school...
Happens all the time in this book!
I know, and it drove me crazy, and it's because I never skipped a single class all the way through high school, but...
Yeah, me neither.
I was kind of getting frustrated a little bit with A for skipping school with every single body.
I was just amazed that A got away with it pretty much every single time. I was just thinking, like, if I had tried to skip school, I feel like I'd be getting angry phone calls before too long. Or I would at least get home and get, like, a, where the fuck were you? The school called me, where the fuck were you?
Yeah, maybe for narrative purposes, the author just decided not to have that conversation every time A was in a new body. but I think the same thing would have happened with a percentage of these kids. I mean, schools take attendance, and
especially high schools.
If you have unexcused absence, generally speaking, they'll try to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if a police officer sees you, they can come ask you if you're supposed to be in school and drag you back to school.
Yeah.
Like it's mandatory education laws, yo.
Maybe in Maryland they don't care as much.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? And then defying authority is always on the list when you look at reasons books get banned. Again, I have no idea if this book has been banned or challenged. I assume it has because all these things are in it. But I don't have any proof. But defying authority is always on the list, and I'm not even sure what that means, to be honest.
It's just, you talk back to an adult.
Yeah, how dare you. A teenager smarting off to an adult? Oh my god.
That never happens.
Better not let the teenagers see that. Oh wait, they do every 5 minutes with the people all around them. Come on.
So some of the issues, some of these are favorite YA issues, particularly suicide. One of the bodies that A is in is a girl who's suicidal. He finds a journal of her detailing all the different ways she can kill herself, which is pretty horrifying.
And in detail. Though to me that almost seemed like a goth kid in a movie who was just supposed to be hilariously dark.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. But A has the struggle of, should I do something about this? Is it my job to try and save this girl? Or has she already made her decision and it's not really my place to interfere with her life?
See, and this is where the quantum leap thing started popping into my head. Because in that show, generally speaking, he pops into a body. He has control over that body for the duration of the time he's there, and he has to... there's a time travel element, too, but it has to, like, affect a positive change in their life before he leaps to the next body, which he has no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering... That's where I was thinking this could become a Quantum Leap for Kids reboot, where he hops to a troubled teen's body in every week's show and has to...
Fix their problem.
Help them start fixing their problems, or because it's TV, completely fixing their complex emotional psychological issues in a single hour of television.
Yeah.
The A and Rhiannon have a little bit of back and forth about what the right thing to do is, and covering some of the usual talking points with suicide about, well, it's their choice, which is fairly callous, but, I mean, I can see where it's coming from, versus have to help this person.
Yeah, I mean, it's the suicide is the final cry for help in a long line of cries for help.
Right.
Where after that happens, it's too late. So if you have the chance to actually let them cry for help when it's going to get noticed, then...
Yeah. I mean, when you boil it down, I guess suicide is... If it turns out to be a mistake for you, there's no correcting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. It would be a very different book with a very different purpose if you'd come down on the side of pro-suicide.
I just feel like if I was in that situation and I ended up in the body of someone who I found out was going to commit suicide, I would also take the same approach of going up to the parents and just straight up saying, I'm going to kill myself. You should probably stop me.
See, and I'm glad that...
Or I feel guilty.
I'm glad A came to that method, because what I was thinking is, well, why don't you make like a half-assed design-to-fail suicide attempt and maybe they'll put you under psychological care and observation.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess the direct communication method is less messy.
Yeah.
Has fewer risks, for sure.
As we mentioned, homosexuality, there's one teenager who's gang that's doing a pride parade with his boyfriend, and then there's a, the girl.
Oh, the girls. Yeah. Towards the end.
Yeah.
Which he was kind of...
That was a cute relationship. Yeah,
it was, and A was kind of... pinging that relationship for ideas and input on A's own, really.
And the transgender issues, A wakes up in the body of a transgender boy, right?
Body
a girl.
Biological male.
No, biological male who's... I thought it was...
Yeah, I think it was biological male who was a female.
No, it was biological female who's male, because he was wearing ties on, like, a button-down shirt and stuff.
Right.
So dapper.
Yeah.
So he's a biological female dressing and as a male.
I think you're backwards.
Jeez. One of us is going to look like an asshole.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to look like an asshole, but we'll find out. Oh, yeah, the chapter where A was Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Aunt Philly.
That was Phil.
Ah, that's when he gets his ass kicked as a metalhead. There you go. Biologically female. Damn it!
Yes! I knew it! I am more open and accepting than you.
You are the...
Obviously.
You are the bomb.com.
I remember it.
It's time to move on.org.
So anyway, Vic, the body of the transgendered man, boy, man, whatever, he wakes up in, who is biologically female, but is male.
Yes.
And dating a lady, and they have a good relationship, too. And one of the things that makes A hopeful is that the girlfriend in this scenario, is seeing Vic for who Vic is.
Right.
Instead of saying, like, oh, you're a girl, but a man.
Not the gender construct.
Right. And A really wants Rhiannon to be able to see through all the various bodies just for who A is.
Right. Which, you know, in fairness, very few people would not struggle with that.
Yeah. It's tough. And especially depending on sexuality, whether it's constructed by society or not, if you're attracted to a certain group of people and then the person you like changes bodies every day and some days they're not in that group of people you're attracted to, it might be harder to, you know? I feel like if if Scott was in a woman's body, I would still love him, but then I would have a hard time doing anything physical wise.
Yeah, it's hard to picture. I mean, is the thing. We've had the, you know, I guess on not quite as specific a level, but the idea of if you met a transgendered person, like a post-op who is biologically whatever you were attracted to, but had been the other in the past, again, just biologically, like, would that be a problem for you?
Mm-hmm.
Could you be with stay with someone after the change, or if you'd been on one side? And those are, I mean, people do those things.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. And actually, the first question to me isn't that tough of one to me. If someone looks like a woman and I'm attracted to them, then I don't really care if they used to biologically be a man or not, I think. But I don't know. I've never been in that situation. But then the idea of being with a biological female and then them needing to change their body to be comfortable with themselves. Could I stay in that relationship? I don't know. That would be weird. That'd be real hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does raise interesting questions that I think are worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out, it'd be weird for Ben, not that he thinks someone doing that is weird.
Oh, no, yeah.
I don't know if anyone would mistake that. I just don't want people to think you're calling transgender people weird.
No, if there is any confusion there, that is certainly not what I'm saying. It's the idea of being with a woman, or being with a biological woman who then was a biological man. That would be a real strange headspace to be in.
Okay. Moving on with issues. Illegal aliens or illegal workers. So A wakes up in the body of a teenage girl who cleans houses.
Yep. Doesn't speak English. Works a long, hard day, despite having some nasty cramps that day, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which would be an unpleasant way to be cleaning toilets.
Yeah, cramps are fun. And cleaning houses all day sounds bad, too, so. There's a brief issue with obesity. One of the bodies A wakes up in is a boy who's really, really overweight.
A biggin.
Biggin.
Like the little ones, but a biggin.
Oh, Lord. And I mean, he guesses, like, what, 300?
Yeah, three bills plus.
Yeah, so, big dude. Yeah. And then I guess, as far as religion goes, the thing here is that Nathan, this guy who thinks he's been possessed by the devil, they're bringing in this issue of conservative Christianity, which is brought up another time when A's in the body of a homeschooler.
Yeah.
And neither time, it's not portrayed very positively either
now,
time.
In the homeschooler, the religious mom is made to look like a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the people who are claiming demonic or satanic possession, they also don't really seem very sane or a group that needs to be taken very seriously. And whether or not I agree with that, certainly if you were a Christian homeschooled type of person, you might not appreciate that depiction.
Although A does make the observation that they've been to so many different religious services that they think most religions are basically the same.
Yes. And that was probably a decent point to throw in there, at least. Though that kind of leads into one of the things that we think about the book, which is that you'll notice for each of these issues, there's point, counterpoint, and there's always the more open-minded view of it in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabs made the comment earlier, feels kind of PSA-y at times.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's a laundry list of issues. Here's a bunch of troubled and, if not troubled, then different types of teens instead of a whole list of mundanity with an occasional different one in between.
Yeah, it feels at times like A is only waking up in the bodies of teenagers who embody certain issues.
Right.
Like, you never just wake up in the body of a boring suburban kid right. who doesn't do anything.
And it's kind of like David Levithan is going, look, teens have problems with this, and this, and this, and here's a social issue, and here's another social issue, mm-hmm. and oh look, here's a gay kid, oh look, here's a, in some of them I guess weren't that different, but here's a kid with an alcohol problem, here's a homeschooled kid, here's the mean girl and the football player were the only ones almost who were... normal-ish.
The mean girl. With the super hot black girl, apparently.
Yeah.
He wakes up in Beyonce's body.
You're right. Now, one thing that I think actually was done pretty well is that these kids, whatever their issues may be, as far as just the distribution of genders and races is really even. Like, it feels really colorblind because you're... The race part is implied. It's not really a factor. It's like, oh, I'm in this body. Oh, I'm in this body. I'm in this body.
Mm-hmm. And it's, pretty even split between boys and girls and seems to cycle through a lot of, or various number of races.
And not done in a way where it feels like it's forced.
Yeah, that actually. Doesn't feel forced.
So, I thought that was good.
Indeed.
Let's see. And then...
Themes?
Yeah, I was just glancing to see what else is in there. Plot points, I think we got.
Yeah.
Ethics of body swapping, we already got. Cool, yeah. So themes.
Themes.
Love conquers all?
Question mark? Because at the end of this book, love has not conquered all.
No, it has not, and it probably shouldn't. A doesn't think it does. Love leaves you to do the conquering and then falls on its own.
Something like that.
That's close to what was said. Which I happen to agree with. Oh, yeah. That's kind of something I wanted to throw in there earlier, too. Was as part of A being this keen observer of relationships, seems to have a lot of really... at least smart-sounding and adult opinions on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little much for a teenage character, even one that had a wealth of experience.
Yeah.
Anywho, getting sidetracked. My experience, both personal and by observation, is that love does not, in fact, conquer all. You have to work on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If you're with someone for longer than... a week, even if you're just friends, like, you have to work on relationships.
It's interesting to think about why relationships start and end, because once you start thinking about that, you'll go, oh, and like, that relationship might have lasted forever if this issue hadn't cropped up, or this relationship never would have started if X had happened.
Right.
Kind of like, if I hadn't moved back to Kansas City, then my relationship status would be incredibly different kind right. of thing. And so it's not really love conquering all. It's kind of time and place and situation, and then you
I think
make
so.
It work.
I think so. And that's both ends of, both of Rhiannon's relationships, I think, especially. Look at that. Because why are she and Justin together when they don't seem to care about each other mm-hmm. that much? Well, it's complicated, right? That old cliche about relationships. It's complicated. Or Rhiannon and A, where they're in love, but their circumstances are impossible. So, of course, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Another central question to the book, is it possible to love a person for who they are and not what they are? And we were actually talking about that a little bit earlier of, could you stay in love with someone if they changed bodies every day? Or if they changed something else huge about themselves? Or do we actually... Are we more shallow than we like to think we are?
Right. Or is that even shallow?
Yeah.
Maybe. It would be part of that question, too. I mean, a romantic partner, it would be really tough if they were a different size, shape, gender, whatever, every single day. That'd mm-hmm. be really strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was Gabs in a different body every day, well, I guess... You know, you don't get to have siblings in that in those circumstances. But if all of a sudden you did, I think that probably wouldn't change much in a sibling relationship.
Yeah. It would be weird, but...
It would definitely be weird.
And then I think another theme is just living in the present and experiencing life and appreciating it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what A has to do. Based on their situation.
That's what A has to do, and that's what A eventually decides again needs to go back to doing. Mm-hmm. So I do think that. I do think there's a strong element of that in the book.
Okay. So I guess one of the big things we haven't talked about yet is the end and how A and Rhiannon's relationship ends. Because it's not just, like, a conversation of, oh, well, I guess we can't see each other anymore, bye. A wakes up in the body of a boy named Alexander, who is a cool, thoughtful guy. Like, legitimate, like, likes his parents.
See, Alexander sounds like the protagonist or best friend of a protagonist in a YA novel to me. More than A does.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes his friends and his family, and he's thoughtful. He has a habit of putting up post-it notes with cool quotes on them all over the place. Yep. And just a generally likable person who's passionate about various things. And A decides, this is the kind of guy who would really appreciate Rhiannon. And goes on a final date with her, but sets it up so that... He's going to leave all the memories of this awesome date with Alexander, and then when he wakes up in the morning, he'll just think that he met this girl and...
They hit it off.
Yeah, they went on an awesome date together, and then Rhiannon can maybe experience a relationship with a guy who appreciates her.
So, there are a few issues with this. So, it's an attempt at a happy ending.
Yes.
I'm going to try to hand this off, leave... her in good hands. Well, man, I didn't even think of this earlier, but first of all, who the hell said she needs taken care of?
Exactly.
But...
It could come across as a little creepy possessive.
A little bit. And, I mean, sure, I guess it's a hopeful new beginning type of scenario, but you have no idea if that's going to work. You don't know what's going to happen the next morning. And I'm... too damn cynical to think they're just going to wake up and everything's going to be happy from there on out.
I know, I just think if I was Rhiannon, I'd be like, thanks, but no thanks. I can choose who I want to date. Yeah.
It just never have gone in the first place.
Like, we get along really well, but I don't know when I wake up in the morning if this guy and I are going to get along.
Right, yeah.
Like, he seems like a good guy, but...
Right.
Who knows? And, that was something I was wanting to bring up when I got online and I was kind of looking at various people's thoughts about the book. Some people were a little put off by the relationship because they thought A felt a little too stalkery
mm-hmm.
toward Rhiannon, and that gesture at the end was more just of a, like a, I love you so much, I'm going to hand you over to this person type of thing instead of letting her make her own choice. Yeah,
I think that thing that could be interpreted as stalkery is also part of what makes it feel teenagery to me. Like, I have to be there with her close all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, a lot of the time, that's great, yeah. But, like, take a day off. It won't kill you.
You don't have to show up at her school while she's doing stuff.
Yeah, it can wait.
And so, as Ben said, it's supposed to be kind of a sweet ending, but there are some issues with it.
Doesn't quite stick the landing.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite stick the dismount.
Yeah. And then we don't really know what A does, because they run off the next day, so...
It's implied that A is going to meet with Poole again.
Yeah.
And try
figure
to
out this.
Figure out how to do some of these tricks that Poole or P or whoever can do.
Yeah. Maybe there's just an A through Z.
Who knows? So,
I guess.
Strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
Of the writing.
Easy to read.
Super easy to read.
And
fun to read.
Yeah, the premise was interesting enough that I didn't have to force myself to read it, even though, you know, Ben and I were talking about some of the issues happening. I was still interested to see what happened. I was never like, ugh,
yeah,
while I was reading it.
It was written, it read like good YA. It was enjoyable to read. It raised things to think about. I said that it felt to me more of a thought experiment than a novel, like almost a philosophical tract sort mm-hmm. of thing. And if you think of it that way, then it's more interesting than if you think of it as a love story. I mean, I'm fascinated with the idea of body swapping and the ethics that could go with that and what kind of worldviews that implies. And
I think if you wanted a novel with a lot of plot, that this would have had, story would have had to take a different direction, more toward a trying to figure out if there are other people like them and how to do all these different tricks and stuff, instead of focusing around trying to build a relationship with somebody.
Right.
And I kind of would have liked knowing more about the others who
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, I would have liked for A to have met up with another androgynous spirit being before all was said and done.
Questions?
Let's see. Does A ever gain all the powers to stay in bodies? And I don't know, maybe there are other things that go along with that once you can learn how to start manipulating your circumstances.
Yeah. What is all that about? Also, do you think A is entirely androgynous, or do you think the voice feels... And this is like a general, like, to people who have read the book type
yes,
of question.
Yes.
Do you think A feels more like a boy or like a girl, or do you think A feels pretty neutral?
I'm interested to know what people's reaction is. I have a working hypothesis. And we'll see here real quick if the evidence, this small amount of evidence with a tiny sample size, begins to support it or not. But when I was reading the book, I definitely thought that A had some maleness about them. And that could, this leads into my working hypothesis of, is that because the character itself comes across as being male, or is that purely a construct of me as a heterosexual male and reading about a character who's in love with a girl while body hopping?
I had that exact same thought. Does A feel like a guy because A's into a girl? Or do they actually feel more like a boy? I mean, I also had the thought that maybe because the book was written by a guy, A felt more like a guy. I mean, we've certainly read stuff where male authors have written female characters convincingly, but
yes.
Maybe that's also a bias, going, oh, a guy wrote the book, the first body A wakes up in is the body of a guy immediately interested in a girl. Like, maybe if A first woke up in a girl's body, we would think A was more of a girl, so...
Right.
Who knows?
Now, I mean, that being said, although I felt like A had a hint of maleness about them, I definitely read the book considering them as an androgynous spirit being and not as a guy who is just comfortable being in any body.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely tried to read A as neutral as possible, so... what'd you think?
Uh, basically, I thought it was interesting. It made me think a lot. I enjoyed reading it. As a novel, it's not that remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed reading it, but when I was done reading it, I went, I don't really know how much I liked that. I definitely didn't dislike it.
Right.
But I didn't love it, and I didn't walk away feeling greatly for the characters.
It's not something that a year from now I'll buy my own copy of and read again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
So, what are you reading right now?
I'm still on Boomerang. I haven't had a chance to read it since the last podcast.
Fool.
I know, I feel like a dumb kid. I don't know how to read.
It's taking you 2 weeks to read a book,
Jeez. I've just been watching TV.
Whatever.
That's not even true. I don't even know what I've been doing. Probably reading articles about sports on the internet.
Oh, yes.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yes.
I do a lot of that. Many thousands of words wasted.
I feel your pain. Well, not about sports, but...
Well, yeah.
I picked up 19 Minutes by Jodi Picoult, or Picot, or I don't know, say her last name.
Let's go Picoult. She sells in America.
Yeah. She's the woman who wrote My Sister's Keeper, which is, I think, the one everyone's heard of. This one's about a school shooting, but I mostly just wanted to read one of her books to see, like, why she was so popular, so... Yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, I'm particularly interested in whether you thought A was a boy or a girl, and if you have a screen name that doesn't make it obvious, whether you yourself are a boy or a girl, or an androgynous spirit being,
yeah, it's fine
with a web-based email address that you use as your one thread of continuity. I'm up for whatever. But if you're going to do that, then you can leave said comments on our website, novelideaspodcast.com.
You can email us via your web-based email address, novelideaspodcast@gmail.com.
You can tweet us at the Twitter, @novelideaspod.
And you can find us on iTunes.
And, I guess as long as we're talking about feedback, I don't know if any of you download the episode directly through our website. WordPress has tweaked things, and it may be possible for me to undo it, but I haven't figured it out yet. But now it is streaming the episodes on the website, and I don't think you can actually download it directly off the website. So if there are any non-iTunes folks out there who are looking to download it and can't now, let me know, because we may even consider changing providers if that's an issue.
Yeah.
Because that's how I would consume it if I wasn't the host.
Right.
And actually, there are podcasts that I have stopped listening to because I can't download them and save them for later or listen to them in other places.
Yeah.
So, it affects things. Anyway, I think that is... Oh, no. One more thing.
Yeah.
I was trying.
So next week, to round out the month of April, we're going to be reading Maurice by E.M. Forster. And this book, I have not read it, but I have it on good authority. It consists of two men who love each other. Or that at least happens in the book.
Yes.
So... this one, for anyone who's been disappointed, those have a legitimate gay relationship at the center of it. Fear not.
That's right. So, that'll do it for this week. Tune in next week for 50% more gayness.